Good morning. Great to see you this morning. You know, just be praying. I tell you, there's a lot of sicknesses going around, even in our church. And I tell you, that flu bug has just been nasty. And we just have a lot of people to be lifting up. So just continue to be praying for people and for families and children and all those different things. You know, my heart's just breaking for some of the people that aren't able to come here this morning because of being sick. But we do realize that's part of God's plan as well, right? Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to John chapter 6, but before I do that, Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day. There'll be no other day like it. Are you going to rejoice in this day? That's my prayer. I know that's a prayer for my life. In John chapter 6, I'm going to read the passage for this morning as we continue our series in the Gospel of John, and the whole series as a whole, what is the truth? What is the truth about Jesus Christ? What is the truth about what he says? What is the truth about who he is? And so we continue that in the Gospel of John. If you're a visitor here today, we go through the Bible verse by verse and learn from what God has to tell us verse by verse. So we continue in John chapter 6, starting in verse 22. If you have your bulletins, if you have your Bible, follow along with me. "On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away and alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into their boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' And Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal.' Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' And Jesus said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.' So they said to him, 'Well, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?' 'Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' They said to him, 'Sir, give us this bread always.' Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing at all, nothing of all that he has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day.'" This is God's word. Let me pray, please. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is the very bread of life to all of us. To the unbeliever, Lord, it is the nourishment that will save them. To us who believe, It is the nourishment that sanctifies us. God, do a work in our hearts this morning. May the Holy Spirit speak a better message than what comes out of my mouth. Lord, for your glory and for your Son's praise, I pray these things in Jesus' name. For the next 3 weeks, including this week, I'll be doing a three-part message from basically from verses in John chapter 6, verses 22, all the way to verse 70. Now, in this message, there's a lot going on here, and really, it really goes and moves together, but I'm going to try and break it up into three passages because there is a lot to be said here, and really, the discourse of Jesus' deity begins not necessarily here, but it is it at full force for those who need to believe and those who do believe what they're truly relying on. In John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, we know that the Gospel of John is written so that you would believe and believe in his name. That's the reason John is written, so that you and I would focus on who Jesus Christ is. And by knowing that, it changes your life, both for salvation and for sanctification. So this morning, we're going to talk about doubts. Okay? To some, you might have doubts here about who even Jesus is. Is he really the Son of God? Some of you doubt. But ultimately, we're going to talk about doubts in those who do believe. And I'm guessing some of you doubt. You don't doubt the power of Christ. The power of Christ to save, amen? But you doubt God's plans in your life. You don't doubt his power to save, you just doubt his plans for your life when they don't go your way. This morning, we're going to look at four questions. In the verses 22 through 40, we see four questions that the Jews present to Christ. So what are questions? Well, one of the purposes of a question is to remove doubt, is it not? You ask questions so that you can remove doubt. Well, I got to tell you, doubt is a faith sucker. It will suck the faith out of you when you continue to doubt God's plans in your life. This morning, the Jews had serious doubts about Jesus. And I'm guessing those of you who know Christ, you have serious doubts about his plans in your life. So you ask questions of God. That is the purpose of questions. You ask God, God, is this your plan? Is this really my lot in life? See, the problem here is not that you ask questions. The problem is when you ask questions, are you getting the answer that you want? See, and I'm guessing some of you ask questions, like me, and we don't like what God tells us. Because sometimes it means suffering. Most of the time, when you're walking with Christ, it means suffering. We don't want to hear that. And for those of you who don't know Christ, you ask questions, and Jesus tells you he's the only way. And you say, no, what about my parents? What about my friends? What about you? You that are asking questions about Jesus, are you getting the answer that you desire? Can we get real this morning? Do you have doubts about God's plans? Do you have doubts about God's plans? Again, I didn't say you didn't doubt his power. I'm just asking, do you doubt God's plans in your life? I'm guessing some of you have questions and don't want to hear the answer. You know, doubt is where it all began, isn't it? Isn't where doubt, where sin all began? In Genesis 3, we see Satan going to Adam and Eve and saying, what? In Genesis 3:1, did God actually say you cannot eat from this tree? Did he actually say this? See, what he wants is to create doubt in your life. He wants you to be asking the questions not in faith, but in doubt. So the question is, when you ask those questions, when questions are presented to you, how do you respond? Well, with our father and our mother, Adam and Eve, it led to sin. And I'm guessing in our lives, it leads to sin as well. So let's take a look at these four questions if we can. You know, it's funny is in this chapter, in chapter 6, five times you're going to see the words truly, truly. Now, the theme of this whole series in the Gospel of John is what is the truth? And five times in just this chapter, Jesus says, truly, truly, amen, amen, or so be it, listen up, this is what I'm going to tell you, this is the truth. Five times he says this. 25 times throughout the whole Gospel of John, he uses this phrase. Jesus wants us to know the truth. He wants to answer your questions. He wants you to know the truth. These Jews are going to ask him a series of questions. And so what I want to ask you is, what questions are you asking God this morning? Are you getting the answers you desire? Maybe you are. You just don't like to hear what he's saying. You're right where the Jews are at. The first question we see in verse 25. In verse 25, it says this of John chapter 6. When? I'm sorry, did I say 26? 25, sorry. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Now, why is that question important? Well, you need to understand the context of why they're asking that question. In Matthew chapter 14, in Mark chapter 6, you get a fuller commentary of exactly what happened when Jesus walked on water, like I talked about last week. In Mark chapter 6, I believe it says that they watched and they saw Jesus tell the disciples to get in the boat and take off. So they all knew that Jesus wasn't going to be in the boat. They saw Jesus go up in the mountains and pray. And they waited, just like the disciples. Remember, the disciples waited till night before they started off across the Sea of Galilee. And so these people that had just been fed, got their bellies full, had waited and waited. Where's Jesus? We want to make him a king. We want to do all these great things with this guy that can make things appear out of nowhere. I mean, I want to follow this guy. Well, they see that he didn't go with the disciples. And then these other boats are coming and no one's in there with Jesus isn't in there. And so they made a deduction of their questions and ultimately they realize, okay, I don't know how Jesus got over to Capernaum, but let's just go see if he's over there because we're hungry. We need something from Jesus. We're looking for this guy who fed 5,000 people. So they head across and they come to ultimately a synagogue exactly where Jesus was at because they knew that Jesus would teach in the synagogues. And so they ask him, Rabbi, when did you come here? What's the heart of this question? Well, the heart of the question is, they're looking for Jesus. But they're not seeking Jesus. They're looking for Jesus. But they're not really seeking him. What does that mean? Well, they sought Jesus for a better life. They sought Jesus for food to order. They sought Jesus so that they didn't have to work anymore. They sought Jesus so that they could get something. They needed Jesus. But they didn't understand why Jesus came. The real purpose by which Jesus came. Their question was never answered by Jesus. Did you catch that? Look at his answer in verse 25. When they found him, they said, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus said to them, truly, truly, listen up. I'm going to tell you the truth. I hear your question. I'm listening to your question, but it's a faulty question. Here's how I'm going to answer it. I say to you, you're seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves. You ask, you're probably saying, well, Greg, I'm not like that. I don't ask questions like that of God. I mean, I'm truly seeking him for the things that I should be. Well, maybe I'm the only one that when I pray, or back in the day, I know I used to pray, God, give me a better job. God, I need more money. God, I need a different house. I need. Did you ever think to answer that question that you need a better job because you're lazy in the one you're in? Or maybe you need more money because you've misspent and you're in debt with the money that God's already given you, but yet you want more. You want a different house because you can't take care of the one you have. And you just need to fill it up with more things. We focus on our physical needs, our 401ks, our finances. It's never enough. It's never enough. We need. We're asking the wrong questions. God says, you're looking for me, but you're not seeking me. You're not really seeking me. How do we know that? Because he says this, do not labor. Verse 27, do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which is the Son of Man. He will give it to you. For on him, God the Father has set his seal. The word there for labor is work, or the word energy, where we get the word energy. Don't spend all your energy on your needs. Spend your energy seeking God's face. Whatever you get is part of God's plan. Are you comfortable with that answer? Are you comfortable with that answer in your life? I'm guessing some of you have doubts. Sometimes I have doubts. What are you spending your time on? What are you spending your energy on? Ask yourself right now in your heart, what is the first thing I want to do when I get out of here? Now, if it was NFL season going on, we'd have a pretty good answer, wouldn't we? How much time do you spend on Facebook as compared to the time you spend in the Word of God? I'm guessing we have doubts about God's plans in our life. Do we not? Brings us to question number two. In verse 28, it says this, Then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? What must we do? What kind of question is this? Well, I'll get you to the heart of the question. They want to know, how do you please God? What good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? I want to spend the rest of my days with you, Jesus. That's my question. What does Jesus respond? He says, this is the work. This is what you need to understand. It's not your work, but it's the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So he throws out the question. The Jews are throwing out the question, and some of you have this very question. What do I have to do to go to heaven? We have lots of answers for this. And some of you in this room, this is a very simple question. Because you don't know Jesus, you figure you have to do a bunch of good things to get to heaven. Jesus knows the heart of the unbeliever. He knows that the law is written on your heart. You want to do good. But the purpose of the law, as Romans chapter 2 says, is to show you that you're not. You're not good. Only he is good. There is no amount of work you can do to get to heaven. And I'm guessing some of you are in doubt. Some of you don't like that answer because you got a relative who is a really good person. Because you know somebody that was just such an awesome person and they died and they didn't know Jesus. Well, I got a question for you. Who's on trial here? The sons of man? Or God? Jesus did not come into this world to condemn the world. We were condemned already. Some of you are asking this question, seeking a salvation found in works, and you will never find it, and you will find yourself empty. You will find yourself in void because you do not have the relationship with God that He desires through His Son. Some of you here are asking that question not because you don't believe that, but because your anchor isn't found in that. And what does that mean? Well, that means that you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You believe that God raised Him from the dead. You have trusted that Jesus died for your sins. The only problem is when trials come, when suffering comes, when any number of things that you are putting in your own lap as a result of sin and your selfishness, you find no anchor in the gospel. The good news that Jesus died for your sins. How does that not change our lives, believers in Christ? How does that not change your life for the betterment of God's glory? See, we have doubts. We doubt that this is true. Though we believe it for salvation, we doubt that the gospel will change my life for sanctification. It's a one and done deal. I like the get out of jail free card, the heaven card. But don't make the gospel change my life. I want to continue to work for God. Don't spend your energy working for God if you think that somehow it's going to please God. Did you catch that? Some of you Christ followers are still in that mode where somehow every day you have to prove to God you're worthy. And then when you sin, when you fall, everything falls apart. Go back to the gospel. Follower of Christ, go back to the gospel. The gospel has saved you from your sins. Your past, your present, and your future sins. Live for Him. Your energy, your work, your labor should be an overflow of Christ's love for you. I've shared this verse numerous times. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Paul says, "For the love of Christ compels me." Not his love for Christ compels him. No, Christ's love for him compels him. Is that what compels you today? I'm guessing some of you have doubts. The last questions, 3 and 4, actually are together. They're found in verse 30. So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe in you? What work do you perform?" Now, I got to tell you, are you shaking your head? I mean, they just were fed by a couple loaves and a couple fish. What works? What miracle? Are you kidding me? Let's get to the heart of this question. You have to know a little bit about Exodus chapter 16, Numbers chapter 11, Nehemiah 9:15. Ultimately, it goes back to the Old Testament when Israel was exodus out and they were in the wilderness and God fed them with the manna from heaven because they were complaining and grumbling. And we want to go back where we can have some garlic and some other cool things. And so what did God do? In His mercy and His grace, He fed them. He fed them for 40 years. What a gracious God. And you know what the Jews are asking this question? They're saying, "Well, you know, Moses provided bread for 40 years. Jesus, you only did it for one day. You only gave me one day's worth of bread. I mean, obviously, Moses did it for 40 years. Can't you do any better? Can't you do any better, Jesus?" Understand the heart of this question. What they're wanting is more, more, more. More, more, more. It's never enough. That is the foundation of their question. Their faith is in doubt. They're not seeking Christ for the right reason. They're seeking Him for their needs. And so are some of us. So do I. We need to start answering or asking the right question. Are there good questions, High Point? Yes. I love, on Mondays every other week, going to Southeast Polk with the FCA. On every other Monday, I meet with about 30 high school students, and they come in and they just ask questions about the Bible. They want to know, in faith, does what Jesus say about this true? And I got to tell you, I look at their faces, and I can see they're asking questions in faith. Guys, there are good questions. Acts 16:30. What must I do to be saved? That's a good question. Jesus gives the answer. Peter gives the answer through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Believe in the Lord Jesus. We do have good questions. You might have good questions, but the answers to those questions is what's causing the doubt, is it not? Some of you have questions for God. Why is this happening, God? And sometimes the answer is, wait. Sometimes the answer is no. Do you have doubts? In verses 35 through 40, as I close, so what's the answer? What's the answer to all your questions? The Jews needed to learn that Jesus is God. In verses 35 through 40, as we close up the section, the answer, High Point, is the cross. I'm not going to read through all those verses again, but ultimately what you need to understand is the answer to all of your questions is found at the cross. Did Jesus suffer? I should make every one of you shake your head yes. Yes, Jesus suffered. Did he get persecuted? Was he persecuted? Yes. Did he answer their trial when they persecuted him? No. Jesus willingly went to the cross to answer all of our questions, so that all of us are without any doubt as to his great love for us. In verses 35 through 40, the Jews needed to understand the ultimate plan of God was to die for them. To die for every doubt, for every question, for every lack of faith, so that they could believe and taste the bread of life. Moses did not provide bread. God provided the bread. And he provided his son the bread of life. And he did so by living a perfect life. A perfect life without sin. To be the sacrifice for us. We deserve to be up on that cross. We deserve the penalty of our sin. But Jesus became our bread of life. Do you know him? If you do not know him, the answer to all of your questions is found at the cross. You place your trust in what Jesus did, and he will save and give you bread every day. Do you have doubts? Do you have doubts about God's plans? I'm not telling you that you don't have doubts about his power. I'm just asking, do you have doubts about God's plans in your life? Look to the cross as your example. Jesus willingly went to the cross. Those of you who do know Christ, I got to tell you, doubts will suck the living faith out of you. It will cause your lives to be in constant questions. Constantly asking God, well, what about this? What about this? What about this? And I got to tell you, Christ follower, when you ask your questions, are you asking in faith or are you asking with doubts? God doesn't mind the questions. The question is, do you mind the answer? Christ followers, go to the gospel when you don't like the answer and let him change your lives forever. Do you have doubts? For the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about doubts because I guess there are a few in here and I'm one of them. There are days that I doubt and I need Jesus to change my heart when I do. Is that your prayer too? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your willingness, your grace for us to ask questions. What a gracious God. You don't have to answer us one bit. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. As we even sang, amazing grace. Father, I know there are people in here that do not know you, and they have questions about your deity. Lord, I'm praying that they would finally submit to you. That they would finally give up their pride, thinking that they can do a work to get to heaven. And those that, Lord, that are in this place that could care less about their eternal life, oh God, break them. Because we are only here for a short time. And your desire is to save them from their sins and their pride. God, do a work in their lives today. That's my prayer. And then for the rest of us that do know you, Lord, we still have doubts. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me for my doubts. Help me to see the gospel. Help me to surrender to the gospel every morning for your glory. So that my questions will be answered for your glory, not mine. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, for my sins. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand as Matt closes it up in this final song.